Welcome to Mint, the podcast equipping you to run the race of faith well. On this show, you can trust that we'll dive deep into God's word and discuss practical ways to live out its truth. It's not easy to be a follower of Jesus today, so let's be salt and light together. I love hearing from you, so send me a message with any questions, feedback, or victory stories you might have from the podcast. In addition, in the show notes, you'll find a link to my website, which has bonus content, free resources, Mint merchandise, and gives you an opportunity to sponsor the show. We're listener funded, and we're so grateful for those of you who partner with us in the mission. Let's go run the race, friends. Well, welcome to the show. I'm so glad that you are here with me today as we continue in our series called Abundant, which is all about living life to the fullest with the Holy Spirit. And then from that indwelling of the Spirit, the producing of fruit in our lives, but it is a product of the Holy Spirit. And so for each episode in this series, we are going to dive deep into God's word and look at one fruit. And we are going to examine what that fruit is and just how we produce it. And then we are going to have a testimony from somebody who is overflowing with it, who has an abundance of that fruit. And today is no exception. And today we are going to look at joy. Now, I'll be honest, there have been many times in the last 10 years that I have struggled with this fruit. I have struggled to find joy, which is ironic because joy is literally my middle name. But health issues and money struggles and kids stuff, man, with all of that, I have let circumstances steal my joy. And then I did not feel as though I was living in abundance. But as Christ followers, we are called to be joyful. So what do we do with that? How does that look in a fallen world? And how do we have joy when we don't feel it? Because it's not just faking it till we make it. So that's what I want to talk about today. Where's my joy? How do I find it? And I'm so excited to introduce my guest to you too, because I know you're going to love her. But first, we're going to dive deep into God's word. So let's pray. God, we just thank you so much for who you are. And we just give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. And now we ask that you would send your Spirit to be with us, to give us eyes that can see you and ears that can hear you and hearts that are courageous enough to learn and to grow and to be transformed. In your name we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm. Well, this is the third episode in the Abundant series where we are talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit and the fruit that comes as a result of the Spirit working in us. And like all the other fruits, joy is not something we just manufacture or we fake or we can just pull up our bootstraps and work harder for. Joy, true joy, is a gift. And it is a fruit that's produced from God's love in us. And scripture has so much to say about having joy and the connection between love and joy. So I'm going to turn first to John 15, verses 9 through 12. If you want to turn with me, you can, but please, if you're driving, do not. But John chapter 15, verses 9 through 12, and Jesus says, "I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love." Verse 11, "I have told you these things so you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way that I have loved you." And so what we see here in this passage is that when we love God and we love like God, we love the people around us, that's when the joy comes. Now I'm going to turn to Luke chapter 15, verse 10 is where I'm going to start. And let's go a little bit deeper with this. Luke 15, chapter 10 says this, "In the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents." And this comes after the story of the woman who has the 10 coins and she loses one, and she lights a lamp and she sweeps her house and she finds it. And then she calls all her friends and neighbors and says, "Rejoice with me, I found my coin." But what Jesus is saying here is, man, there is joy found in the work of God. And when even just one sinner comes from being lost to being found, joy is produced in that. And then in John 16, flipping back, John 16, verse 24, Jesus says, ask using my name and you will receive and you will have abundant joy. Ask using my name and you'll receive and you'll have abundant joy. But what we see here is we're asking in Jesus' name, right? We're doing things by him, from his power, for him. And John the Baptist is another amazing example of this. So I'm going to just flip to John 3, but I'm trying to paint a picture of where the joy flows from and where it comes from. And it's in the work of the Lord, which is loving. And so if we're trying to produce that, we need to do the work of the Lord, which is love. So John 3, verses 26 through 30, John the Baptist has such a beautiful thing to say. And he says this. Actually, I was wrong about what verse it is. We're going to start in verse 27. Here we go. John replied, "No one can receive anything from God unless he gives it from heaven. You yourselves know how plainly I told you I'm not the Messiah. I'm only here to prepare the way for him, and it is the bridegroom who marries the bride, and the best man is simply glad to stand with him and hear his vows. Therefore, I'm filled with joy at his success. He must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less." So joy comes from us doing the work of the Lord, magnifying him in our lives. And it's not about our agenda or our glory. It's about him and his glory and loving others. And when we do that, then the Holy Spirit floods into us. And I honestly believe that's because we are walking out what we were created to do. We're fulfilling our greatest purpose, and it produces joy in us. So now I want to just spend a minute. Well, what is this joy that's produced? Is it like a happiness, or is it like a feeling, or is it like a euphoria? How long does it last? What exactly is joy? Because I think so much in our culture is pointed at happiness, and happiness is different than joy. So let's just take a minute and examine the word joy. Well, the Greek word used here, and it's used actually 60 times in the New Testament, is chara, which is derived from a Greek word charis, which means grace. And so chara is the emotion produced by God's grace in our life. Isn't that beautiful? Joy is not based on human effort. It's literally a divine origin. And it's not just this fleeting feeling, but it's an inner gladness, a delight, a deep delight based on spiritual reality that is independent of circumstances. So I want to say that again. Joy is an inner gladness based on a spiritual reality. That's who God is, and that's independent of our circumstances. That's what's happening to us. I love this. It's a depth of assurance and confidence in God that transcends what's happening in your life. Isn't that so good? That deep down in us, we are so certain that God is good and that he loves us and that he's working it out for us and that we get to go to heaven. We have that deep down assurance, so much so that we are able to rise above what's going on around us and feel joy. That means if you're sick and you're in pain, you can still have abiding joy. That means if you're lonely and you are desperate for someone to come do life with you, you can still have joy. That means if you're broke and you can't afford your life, you can still have joy. Or if you're hurting, if you're suffering, there is still joy to be found because it's not based in our circumstances. I'm going to flip to Romans chapter 15. Can you hear the Bible pages? It's so fun. I love that sound. It will forever be one of my favorites. Romans chapter 15, verse 13 says this, "I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you'll overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit." But there again, it's that confidence, it's that assurance that God's in us and he's got us. And when we have that, then we overflow with jubilation and with delight. We have this emotion, not a feeling. Feelings are fleeting. That is hard to say. That is a tongue twister for me. But joy is an emotion. And joy is part of God's character. And so when we get his Holy Spirit in us, we have it. We have it available to us. It is in us. And what I think is cool is that in the New Testament, at least 12 different times when the word chara is used for joy, it's used in conjunction with the Greek word pleroo, which I may have just pronounced incorrectly, but pleroo means to be filled. And so there's this pattern of joy being used with to be filled. And I think that makes it pretty clear that God wants us to walk in the fullness of joy. He desires that we are filled with joy. So that begets this question. Why don't we always feel full of joy? Why don't we always exude joy? Why aren't Christians running around, clinking their feet together in the air, yelling Yahoo all the time? Why is that? Because if joy comes from God and it's a gift of His Spirit and it's in us, well, what's stopping that from always overflowing into our life? So as I thought about it and as I did a little research, here's what I think. I think that sometimes our humanity gets in the way because as with all of the fruits of the Spirit, it's a partnership that we have with God. It's in us, but we also need to partner with God to receive that and to carry it forward. And I think sometimes our humanity acts as a roadblock. Now, I'm from Minnesota. And if you're from Minnesota, you know that we have two seasons in Minnesota, and it's like winter and then road construction season. Those are our two. And there's so much road construction, and you will be driving somewhere that you need to go, and all of a sudden you see the dreaded orange sign. And it says road closed ahead. And then it takes you on this horrible detour, and it gets in the way of you getting where you're supposed to be going. But I think it's like that with our humanity sometimes. The joy's there, it's in us, but sometimes we let our feelings or our own selfish desires or our pride be a roadblock to the joy. For instance, my little 7-year-old Zeke, bless his heart, he used to be the most joyful kid. He was always just full of joy, no matter what we did. But this summer, he decided he wanted unlimited TV, and he also wanted a video game system, right? So he has become angry because obviously as his parents, we're not going to let him watch unlimited TV, and they have not earned a video game system yet. We have some parameters in place. So he is upset. He wants to just be a couch potato. So he's mad and he talks back and he's sullen and it's just his flesh rising up in him. It's his own selfish desire that is contrary to what his parents want for him. And it's causing him to be angry and sad and frustrated, and it blocks him from being able to see all the blessings in his life and being able to see what he does have. It blocks his joy from having a pool in the backyard and going exploring on the river in our backyard and going to baseball games and doing all these things. His selfish desires in the way. And see, we can be like that with God. We want what we want, and then we want something we don't have, and then we get mad about what we do actually have, and it puts up a roadblock to joy. And like all the fruits, there's this partnership with God that we have to humble ourselves and surrender to His plan and His way. And love, that's what we learned, right? Love like Him, that's how the joy comes. And then we will receive the fullness of joy. Now, it's not always just like a selfish desire or our human nature. Sometimes the circumstances of life are just so overwhelming and painful that it's like a veil is put over joy and we have a hard time seeing it through the grief and the tears. And we find ourselves in a season that's so draining. Like maybe we're a caretaker for aging parents, or we're in a marriage that's really unhealthy and lonely, or we're walking through the addiction of a spouse or a child, and the heaviness of the load that we're carrying makes it really hard to find, to feel, or to exude joy. And friends, I just want to assure you this morning that that is normal. That's part of being a human and having emotions and a heart. That is not a failure on your part. That's why God gave us these as fruits of His Spirit, because He knew that we would walk through times when we couldn't do those. We couldn't manufacture them on our own because it would be too hard, and that He would have to step in and fill the gap and put that in us because we couldn't do it ourselves. And joy is one of those things that is truly only possible in trying times. Right? It's easy if your life's going amazing, but it's truly only possible in trying times if you have an indwelling of the Holy Spirit in you. And that's what I want to focus on. I have such a sweet and special guest with me today. And so I want to introduce you to my dear friend, Robin. And to know her is to love her. She is an incredibly courageous woman, and she is a wife and a mama and a teacher, and she's a friend of many. And Robin had a really heavy, tragic event happen in her family 2 years ago. And how she has walked forward after that. And the joy that she exudes, I know, is going to inspire you. Because she is completely filled with joy that only comes from the Holy Spirit and is from the Lord. And so as she shares her testimony today, Robin, I first just want to acknowledge how incredibly painful I know that it is to share the darkest, deepest parts of our story. So I want to honor you, my friend, because I know what it cost to have to go through and relive and to reprocess and to remember one of the deepest moments of pain in your family's life. But I know, too, the story that God's walking out in you, and it is a beautiful story, and it is His story, and it is His joy. And so I'm so excited for my audience to hear your story. So welcome to the show, Robin.
Thank you. Thank you so much for acknowledging that. It makes me feel so good inside. Thanks.
You're welcome. All right, friends, let's pray for Robin, and then we'll dive in. I'll let her take the wheel. God, I just thank you for your faithfulness in the darkest of seasons. And I thank you for the promises in your word that you tuck us in the shadow of your wings and just hold us in there. And that you hold us by your strong right hand. So, Lord, we claim those assurances. And I ask that you would be with Robin today, that you would be near, and that you would literally hold her in your wings as she shares about your goodness and your joy today. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, Robin, I know that you came all prepared and you have a testimony. So I'm going to give you the floor. And I'm excited to hear what you have to say.
All right. Thank you. What is joy? Well, what I've learned joy to be is this. Joy, it comes from the Lord. It's not dependent upon circumstances like happiness is. Rather, joy is dependent on who Jesus is. Joy is an everlasting gift from the Holy Spirit, and it is His own attribute. The Holy Spirit gave me this gift, and I am blown away that God should have chosen me to have His joy in the midst of this tragedy in order that people might see Him in little me. I'm grateful for it, and I'm very cautious with it. It's not meant for me. It's meant for Him. It's His. It's used for His purposes and not my own. I'm only the vehicle He chose to use to draw people to Him so that He could be glorified. And in an attempt to explain this, I have to explain these three things. One, a circumstance, and two, signs of God, and three, the spiritual gift of joy. The circumstance. Joy is present in the midst of difficult circumstances. It's just there. It's always been there. Hi, I'm Gabe's mom. I am and I always will be. The year was 2020. COVID was a new life-threatening illness. Fear was its loyal companion. Businesses shut down, people masked, hand sanitizer and TP were almost unobtainable. Everyone stayed away from one another. We were advised to sit tight, don't congregate, gather, or even worship together. August 9th, 2020, my husband and I were out for a Sunday drive. We returned home around 4 p.m. An officer, whom we had known, was standing in with our three adult children in the front yard as we pulled up the driveway. Our oldest son, Gabe, 22 years old at the time, had a serious accident. He dove into shallow water, injuring his neck. He was unconscious and pulseless, needing CPR, which was performed promptly by a friend and soon after by first responders. He was airlifted to the hospital where it was determined he had a cervical neck fracture, as well as a bilateral vertebrae artery dissections. He underwent emergency neck stabilization surgery. From a medical standpoint, the diagnosis was so grave. In fact, the medical staff, they were without hope. But God was doing what God does best, performing a spiritual rescue mission that in my world was of epic proportion. It's true, Gabe did pass from this earth, but I believe God rescued him, and he saved my son. Gabe met Jesus 13 days later, August 21st at 10:17 a.m. All my hope is in Jesus Christ alone. The signs. The signs of God's presence are everywhere. I have always been able to see God's goodness, even in the darkness. I see him everywhere. God was certainly present at the scene of the accident and throughout the hospital stay, which I call a 13-day holy sanctuary hospital stay. God continues to show up every day throughout the day. I see him everywhere. I see him in rocks, in the wind of the popple trees, in spider webs caught by the morning dew, in excavators and construction crews, monarch butterflies, and in countless people God has put into my life. God was at the scene of this accident. He placed at that scene these four angels. One was Gabe's friend. This friend literally pulled my son out of the water onto the dock and breathed life into him. Two, a worship pastor. This man owned a boat and was just about to trailer it home. He was worshiping that very morning, playing the song, "God Turned This Around," and he felt God telling him, "Pay attention, I'm going to use you." Three, a doctor, a jet skiing doctor, jumped into the boat to cross the bay where my son and his friend were in distress. And lastly, an officer who knew Gabe, talked with Gabe and my family 5 years prior and showed my family care and concern well beyond his job description. I see you, Jesus. I think about these four people, a friend, a pastor, a doctor, and an officer, and I cry in gratitude, thanking God that if his mama and his earthly daddy could not be there, then the selection of these four angels, well, they were God-given. Indeed, COVID nor death can stop God, his saving grace, and his abundant gifting of joy from claiming victory for the people who love him so. God was also all over the campus hospital. He gifted us with these things. One, a Jesus-loving parking attendant. Her name was Samora. Two, a 13-day holy sanctuary hospital stay, where we read scripture, sang hymns, confessed our sins, held Gabe, prayed over him, whispered sweet thoughts in his ear, and whispered Jesus' powerful name all over his entire body. Three, an opportunity to pray every day for every medical personnel or person to enter his room. I prayed for the safety of their families. I prayed for their incredible work. I even prayed with this beautiful Muslim nurse who inquired about my Bible as we spoke about God. For our friend, an amazing sleuth-like pastor, was able to sneak into Gabe's room to anoint our son and bring hope to our family when COVID restrictions wouldn't allow it. Five, a nurse who stayed, she asked me if she could pray in the emergency room with him. She was so awesome. God was present in that place, so much so that we hated leaving. We hated returning home each night as COVID restriction mandated, entering back into this broken world, but our hearts were most definitely needed in two places, with Gabe at the hospital and with our three children back at home who were unable to come. A gift, the gift of joy. Joy as a spiritual gift. How can I use this for his glory? At first, this gift of joy, it felt like holding on to a fire hose hooked up to a hydrant. I was holding on for dear life, just flapping in the breeze. I did not understand it, nor know how to wield it for God's good glory. It felt so strange and weird. I didn't understand why I received this gift when it wouldn't benefit the ones I love the most, like my husband. That misunderstanding made me want to stifle it, snuff it, and hide it. It was troubling at times to understand why I had this joy and this peace. When my whole family was grief-stricken and guilt-ridden, they were regretful and depressed, sorrowful and angry. They were frustrated overcome and overwhelmed by this tragic loss of someone whom we love so dearly. But then God, I began reading God's word and learning about his character, the Holy Spirit's gifts and their purposes for God's kingdom, and places throughout the whole Bible where people are displayed. They displayed these gifts, extraordinary, ordinary little people. I think I was beginning to understand. These days, I'm learning to be grounded, more self-controlled, more truthful, but the joy in me is just waiting. It's just waiting to burst out and to be shared with whomever, wherever, and whenever God has called me. Recently, a friend of ours texted my husband, and this friend had lost a spouse. And after reading the text, he said to me, "Finally, someone who gets me, who understands my pain, my sorrow, and my perspective." And I was sitting right next to him, wishing I could have been that person to make him feel understood and cared for and loved, accepted and seen for all that he was feeling. Why do we have to grieve so differently? And then he turned to me and he said, "But Bird, when I want to know, if Jesus is real, I look at you and I know, because only Jesus could be that joyful in the midst of this tragedy. It's true, my husband and I can't understand each other's grieving emotions, but you know what? We can see Jesus in each other. Thank you, Jesus. Now I understand. I need to be in God's word, obedient to him, learning all I can about his character, so that the gift bestowed to me for his purpose will put Jesus on display for his glory. You and I, we have gifts. We have gifts to be used by the Holy Spirit that enable people to see Jesus. That is quite an extraordinary gift with an absolute eternal purpose. And I refuse to let him down. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Nehemiah 8:10. Let your roots grow down deep into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Colossians 2:7. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we're going to reap a harvest if we don't give up. Galatians 6:9.
Thank you, Robin.
Thank you.
Friends, I feel like you did get a good snapshot into my friend Robin, who just overflows with joy. And her story just humbles me in how she chooses to love and to do the work of the Lord in the midst of what is such a hard and difficult season. And that is just the best example that I can think of to share with you about what it looks like to be filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit in a time when it just doesn't make sense. So thank you, Robin, for your faithfulness to that call. And I know that it has not been easy. And friends, Robin didn't share this, but she has kind of born a little ministry in this time. And she keeps supplies in her car. And when she drives past construction sites, her son Gabe loved excavators. And she keeps these books that he loved in the car, and tucked inside the book is a note to the person driving the excavator, letting them know about her son and that God loves him That God loves that construction worker right there. And she will drive past these construction sites. And when she feels led by the Spirit, she will go back and she will talk to these workers and give them a book and let them know that they are loved by God. Isn't that incredible? And she actually brought one of the books for my boys this morning, and it was all I could do to keep my feelings in check. I'll have a good cry about that later, but it's just such a special, neat, practical example of loving others. And no wonder she's filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit, that she just continues to shine a light in the midst of a really hard time. So thank you, Robin. As I was studying joy, I came upon this verse, and I've read Psalm 5 a million times, but for some reason, verse 11 and 12 stuck out to me for the first time, and it says this: "But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them sing joyful praises forever. Spread your protection over them, that all who love your name may be filled with joy. For you bless the godly, O Lord, and you surround them with your shield of love." And I just think that's a beautiful word picture of what I think has happened here. So I wanted to leave you with that. And in closing, I'm going to just pray. Thank you, Robin, so much for sharing with us today.
Thank you.
And I just want to remind you that if you want to dig deeper into this topic of joy, you can head to my website, and the link is in the show notes here for the podcast. But you can head to my website, and under the tab for practical resources, I have a free downloadable sheet, and it's got so many verses about joy and what it looks like to have the joy of the Lord, and also some questions intended to help you process what that looks like for cultivating the fruit of the Spirit of joy in your life. So I just wanted to remind you that if you want to go deeper, you want more, you love what you've heard today, or you are overwhelmed and blown away by Robin and her story, you can go and get those practical resources, or you can send me a message and I will pass it on to Robin. That if her story's impacted you in some way and you want to let her know, please go to my website, to the contact page. Again, the link's in the show notes. Send me that, and I promise you that I will be a good messenger and I will get it to Robin. So let's pray. God, I just thank you so much for who you are. I thank you that, Lord, we can have that deep-seated joy, that we can have that assurance and that confidence in our gut that comes from you, that you love us no matter what's going on in our life. God, I thank you that you love us so much that you pour out your joy over us, that we have it when we can't even come up with it ourselves. So, Lord, I just thank you for today. I thank you for your word. I ask that you would let the truths that we have learned today and the testimony that you've heard today, I ask that you would let it grow roots down deep into our hearts, that we could be people who are overflowing with your joy, that the world might know the depth of your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for listening to Mint, the podcast equipping you to run the race of faith well. More resources are available at my website, and the link is in the show notes. We'd be so grateful if you'd leave us a like or a 5-star review. Let's do this faith journey together.